Okay, we'll hit it up. Right, today is Daf Lamed Ches, and we are on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the last line. So we're still discussing the issues of Shehiyah, of leaving items on the Kira prior to Shabbos and letting it continue through Shabbos. So, Bayiminei Rabbi Chiya. So, that's the Bnei Yeshiva asked Rabbi Chiya. Shachach Kedera Al-Gabi Kedera, Al-Gabi Kira, Ubishla B'Shabbos Mahu. So, a person forgot. Right, the person forgot, and he left the kedera on the kira before Shabbos. Right, and obviously the kira is according to Rashi, we're talking about a liba demanda asar. So according to Rashi, we're talking about the chachamim. Tosfos says, as even according to Chananya, we can be discussing a case where the food wasn't machal ben drusai prior to Shabbos, and the kira was not gerufa keduma. Has to be. So he left the kedera on the kira before Shabbos, and it completed. It finished its cooking on Shabbos. So Mahu, what is the din with this cooked item? This tavshil, what's the din? May you eat it or may you not eat it? So the Gemara says, Ishtik. So what happened was, right, they asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and when he asked the question, he was quiet. He didn't answer the question. Velo amar luhu velo midi. He didn't answer. He didn't say anything. Lamachar, so the next day, Nafak, he went at Rabbi Chiya bar Abba went out to Vidarshlu, and I guess he thought it was such a good question, he wanted to wait till the next day to use it as his drasha. So Lamachar Nafak Vidarshlu, and he made a drasha to Bnei Yeshiva, and he quotes this a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Trumos, it's a Tosefta, it's a whole to do about what the story is about. This is the whole brisa about Maisa Shabbos. What can you do with things that were with something Malacha was done on Shabbos? Can you benefit with it from it on Shabbos? So he quotes this Brisa or Mishnah, and he says, "Hamivashal b'Shabbos, somebody who cooks on Shabbos, not Shehiyah, someone actually puts something on the flame on Shabbos. Hamivashal b'Shabbos, if he does it b'shogeg, if he does it just inadvertently, so yochal, he is permitted to eat that food even on Shabbos. Okay, this is a shita of Meir, right? B'mezid, if he does it purposely, if he does it intentionally, lo yochal, he may not eat the food till after Shabbos. And so, what is that? And he says, v'lo shna." And our din, the question that you asked me is no different. Right, Rashi says, V'lo shna, aval hai, t'shacha kedera, lo shna bin shogeg u'mezid. There's no distinction between shogeg u'mezid, but it's a little ambiguous. What do you mean lo shna? Lo shna to the sense of lo shna that it's mutter, or lo shna that it's usser. Which one is it no different? There's no difference between shogeg u'mezid. Right, he says, V'lo shna, what is it? It's the mares. My veloshna. What does it mean, veloshna? I mean, you quoted a brisa when it came to cooking. And with brisa, when you made the cooking, you said there was a distinction between shogeg u'mezid. And then you say when it comes to inadvertently leaving the item on the kedera over Shabbos for Shehiyah, you say there's loshna. There's no difference between shogeg u'mezid. Well, what is it? Is it loshna shogeg u'mezid to say that they're both aser? Well, loshna shogeg u'mezid to say that they're both mutter to eat? So Gemara says, my loshna, it's machlokas. Rab of Rav Yosef Damri Tavayu, Rab and Rav Yosef say, Letera. When Rav Chirak Bar Abba came and said that Lo Shna by the case of Shehiyah, he's saying it's Letera. I mean, there's no difference between Shogeg and Mez by Shehiyah that the item would be Mutter. So therefore, if you left something on the flame, whether you left it purposely or you left it by Shogeg, and then it cooked on Shabbos, but you did the Maisa before Shabbos, you left it on before Shabbos, it's going to be mutter. Why? Why make a difference? Why by Bishul do you have a difference between shogeg u'mezid, but by Shehiyah you have no difference between shogeg u'mezid, and they both be mutter? It says mevashel hu deka avin maisa, because on mevashel you're actually doing a maisa b'dayim on Shabbos. You are actually doing the malacha on Shabbos, right? So mevashel hu deka avin maisa. Right, so b'mezid lo yochel. So we make you a punishment. So by mezid, this is b'mezid, we're not going to allow you to get benefit from the ma'aseh malacha. Aval hai, but this person who just left something on the flame erev Shabbos, aval hai deloka avin ma'aseh, he didn't do any ma'aseh b'yadayim on Shabbos. The action he did was prior to Shabbos. Aval ha deloka avin ma'aseh b'mezid nami yochel. So we won't make this gezeira against him, and we'll say that he's allowed to eat it even on Shabbos. But Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak say no. They amr li suro. When they say when Rav Chiya said lo shna, he meant lo shna, that there's no difference between shogeg u'mezid by Shehiyah. That means that it's usser. If you left something on the flame erev Shabbos and it cooks through Shabbos, it's usser to benefit from that cooked item. Right? Rav Nachman Yitzchak amr li suro. Because he says, hi, so what is the difference? Why by Bishul is there a difference between shogeg u'mezid? I'm muting everybody. This is very unsettling. Why by Bishul do we say that there's a difference between shogeg u'mezid, but by Shehiyah, there is no difference between shogeg and mezid. In both cases, would be aser, right? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Li Sura, he says mevashel hu d'lo ka asli irume, so b'shogeg yochal. Aval hai the asli irume k'shogeg nami lo yochal. He says when it comes to bishul, there's no one. People apparently take Shabbos seriously. If you look at Rashi, the asli irume, it's like the fourth short line, right? The asli irume, the issa d'rabbanan hu. So sorry, to go further up, the lo asli irume, the lasos mezid v'lomer shogeg hayisi. People take Shabbos seriously, and a second, Mati's coming in. There he is. Right, people take Shabbos seriously, and therefore they're not going to say, "Oh, you know what? I really didn't do it b'mezid. It was b'shogeg." No one says that when it comes to malacha d'oraisa. We're not going to be choshesh, as Rashi says. Lo asilirumi lasos mezid v'lomer shogeg hayisi. Lo nechdu Yisrael al haShabbosos. They weren't choshesh people about Shabbos, so therefore we're not going to say, "Oh, no, if you did it b'shogeg, you can't. It's going to be usher. If you say you did it b'shogeg, it'll be mutter." But when it comes, to Shehiyah, Shehiyah is only a din d'rabbanan. It's only the Rabbanan. So the Asil Arume, as Rashi points out, people might say, you know, I really did it for Shogeg. Right? The Asil Arume, Rashi says, the Issa d'rabbanan uva kulalei, va Asil Ashui mezi v'yom shachti. People are going to leave it on purposely, and then just say that they forgot. So you know what we're going to do? One sec. Jeff, you got these guys coming in or no? All right, got him in. Okay. So when it comes to shogeg, people might say, you know what? I really did it for shogeg, even though they did it for mezid. So therefore, we make a takana that it's going to be usher. I think that's how we passed in the Siman Reish and Gimel, that if someone forgot something on the fire, then it becomes usher on Shabbos. So again, so you have a machlokas as to what the story is going to be if you accidentally leave something on the fire. Sorry, if you leave something on the fire, before Shabbos, according to Rabbi Rav Yosef, it's going to be mutter. Whether they did it for shogeg or mezid, it's going to be mutter. According to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, it's going to be usher, shogeg or mezid. So the Gemara asks Mesvei, they ask the Shaila, so let's bring the following brisa. And from the following brisa, it's going to seem to be a kasha on both, right? Because both Rav and Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman Yitzchak may make no distinction between shogeg or mezid. One lehetera, one leisura. But Mesvei, we ask the following from the brisa. So we have a brisa that says, Shachach kedera al gabe kira v'bishlo b'shabbos. Exactly our case. Someone forgot, left the kedera on the kira before Shabbos, u'bishlo b'shabbos, and it cooked on Shabbos. So if he did a pishogeg, I mean, if he just forgot and left it there by mistake, then yochal, then he is permitted to eat the item that cooked on Shabbos. But if he left it there b'mezid, lo yochal, he can't eat it. So right away they have a problem because making a difference in shogeg u'mezid. Right, so b'med dvarim amurim, so when do we say that by mezid you can't eat it? Rashi points out, b'med dvarim amurim, that you can't eat it if you left it purposely. That's b'chamim shlo huchlut called sorkon, b'tavshon shlo bishol sot sorko. That's a case where it wasn't fully cooked, or according to Machal to Rechananya, it wasn't Machal ben Yusai before Shabbos. Aval, but if you left on the flame, chamim shu chamul kol tzarchon, v'tavshu shu bishul kol tzarcho, but if you left on something that was already fully cooked, so there's no issue, right? Aval chamim shu chukmush kol tzarchon, v'tavshu shu bishul kol tzarcho. So bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid yochal. Give Rameyer says it doesn't make a difference if it was fully cooked before Shabbos and you left it on and mistakenly, if you forgot to make a gar for katam, you can eat it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. Chamim shehu chamul kol tzarchon mutarim. If it just comes to like water or something like that, liquid that it was fully came to a full boil and you leave it on, that's mutter, right? Why? They should stomach mitstamek verolo, because further cooking is bad. For the item, because I guess the more you leave it on, the more it boils out. But the tafshil should be so called sorko, but a cooked food that even if it was fully cooked, it's usser. You still would not be able to eat it if you left it there b'mezid. Mipneishim stomach v'yofago, because if it's a case of where leaving it on benefits the food. And everything that benefits the food, the more it's on the fire, like kruv or pulim, ubas or taruf, all these things, it's usser. They call it mitzamek v'ralo, mutter. But if it's mitzamek v'ralo, if it's detrimental to the food item, then it would be mutter. So according to Rav Meir, if it's fully cooked, you can leave it on. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's fully cooked, I mean, and you left it on b'shogeg, and so according to Rabbi Meir, you can eat it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you left it on and it's fully cooked, only if it's stomach viralo can you eat it. But nevertheless, that's if it was fully cooked. But when it came to an item that was not fully cooked, they make no distinction. If it was an item that wasn't fully cooked, right, then there's a chilik between shogeg and mezid. Right, we say tashel shelo bishel kol tzarko. We say that b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. That's what the Braisa says. It makes a distinction. So therefore, we have a kasha now on both Rabbi and Rav Yosef and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. According to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they both should be mutter. Why does the case? Right, they both should be mutter. Why does it say by leaving Rabbi mezid it's usser? And according to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, they both should be usser. Why does it say leaving, if you left it on after Shabbos, is a distinction between, left it on before Shabbos, there's a distinction between mezig and shogeg. So the Gemara says, Bishlamo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lokasha. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who said that, again, the case is, you left something on the flame before Shabbos, and it cooked on Shabbos, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, they both should be usher. So why in our Braisa does the Braisa say that if you left it on b'mezid it's usher, but shogeg it's mutter? So Bishlamo Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lokasha, kan kodim gezerah, kan la'acha gezerah. There was a gezerah, we'll get to it in a moment. There was a takana that was made. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who said, so the Braisa that says that there's a distinction that if you left it on b'shogeg it's mutter, that's before the gezerah. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was discussing a case of after the gezerah. After the gezerah, they both became usser. But the Braisa was discussing before the gezerah. Before the gezerah, shogeg was mutter. El l'rabba v'rav Yosef, to abra l'hatera, but rabba Rav Yosef who said that there was no distinction in shogeg and mezid, because they both were mutter if you left it on before Shabbos, so then you can't answer this kodin gezerah or achar gezerah. Why? Because e kodin gezerah, if that Braisa is discussing about before the gezerah, then kasha mezid. Then mezid is a problem. If it's before the gezerah, right, they said in both cases it would be mutter. So if that's before the gezerah and they're after the gezerah, so why before the gezerah it's usser and after the gezerah it's mutter, right? So kasha mezid, but and ila achar gezerah, and if we're talking about it's after the gezerah, so kasha nami shogeg. So it's after the gezerah. Why is shogeg? Why did they say shogeg is mutter after the gezerah? Shogeg should have become usser. So the Gemara says kasha ila chanami. That is a kasha on the shita of Rabbi Rav Yosef, who said that if you left something on the flame before Shabbos, nevertheless, it's mutter to eat a food item on Shabbos. This brisa seems to indicate that no, you can't, and that's how we paskin. Right? There's a machlokas we've shown about what the word kasha means. Right? According to Rabbeinu Chananel, kasha just means we have an answer, but it's not such a, we're not going to answer here. According to the Rashbam and Bava Basra, Rashbam and Bava Basra, he says that, it's on Bava Basra Nun Beis. He says that kasha and tiyufta are the same thing. Just tiyufta is when you have a bomb question from a brisa or a mishnah. But kasha is when you have a bomb question from the Amoraim. But nevertheless, it still refutes their shita, and therefore, I think that's why we paskin that if you leave something on the flame, right? If you leave something on the flame, Erev Shabbos, and it's not garuf or katam, if you leave something on the flame, and if you violate Shehiyah, you're not supposed to be able to eat that food item on Shabbos. Now, granted, there are a lot of other heterim about what can be left on, what cannot be left on, you know, different shitas. But if you violate everything to the point that there's no shita to be so mechon, that food item is probably usher to be eaten to eat on Shabbos. So now the Gemara says, well, we had this whole idea of the gezerah, before the gezerah or after the gezerah. What's this gezerah? Ma gezerta. The Amar of Yehuda bar Shmuel, Amar of Abar bar Kahana, Amar Rav, but Tchila, initially, Hayu Omrim, Hamavashal b'Shabbos b'Shogeg Yochal, b'Mezid lo Yochal, v'Hoyil Shocheach. Initially, they said the halacha was as follows. Someone who cooks on Shabbos does a Maisa B'Yadayim. If he does it b'Mezid, he can't eat the food on Shabbos. If he does it b'Shogeg, he can eat. He may eat the food on Shabbos. Right? V'Hu Adin l'Shocheach. And that would have been the same halacha when it came to if someone forgot the food and left it on the flame without garu for katam. That if he left it on the flame and the Maisa and the Bishul took place on Shabbos, he left it on the flame before Shabbos, initially the halacha would be if he left it b'Shogeg, if he forgot, then the food item would be mutter. If he did it b'Mezid, he did it intentionally, the food item would be usher. But then what happened was, Mishirabu Mashin bin Mezid, but Om Shechim Anu Chazu Bekonsu al Shochayach. What happened was, is people would just, again, people wouldn't violate Shabbos Daraisa. But the Ravanan, Don, are you in? But the Rabbanon, but the Rabbanon's people would violate. So what people were doing was to say, you know what? They were going to leave the food item on the flame Erev Shabbos. They would claim they were doing it b'shogeg. In reality, they were doing b'mezid. So they said, even if it's b'shogeg, it's usher. Who enforces this, Yossi? Self enforcement, right? So that's the takana. That was the gzeira. The gzeira was that now after gzeira, even if you left food on the fire prior to Shabbos, and it cooks on Shabbos, even if you did a b'shogeg, you still, the food item would be mutter. Would be usser. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to ask, like a little sort of a break, and now the Gemara asks, it seems the brisa that we just quoted, this Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda, that Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda in this brisa seems to contradict Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda from earlier in our parak. And the Gemara says, Kasha de Rav Meir de Rav Meir, Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a contradiction of Rav Meir, there's a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. So one of those contradictions, if you look at Rashi, he says, Kasha de Rav Meir de Rav Meir, let me see, it's about, I don't know, 3/5 of the way down. Kasha de Rav Meir de Rav Meir. He says, the Tanya La'el, Rav Meir said earlier, Bereish Pirkin, we quoted the brisa earlier in the beginning of our parak, Rav Meir Alib de Beis Hillel, that Rav Meir who was going court to Beis Hillel, that Chamin Avalo Tafshil, that you can leave on the flame, right? You can do shahiyah, liquid water, but not a cooked item. V'hacha shari chamin v'tafshel shabishel tzorkorcho. But here, the brisa says that if the thing was fully cooked, you're allowed to leave both on. Over there, he said you're only allowed to leave water. Here, he says you're allowed to leave both on. And the Rabbi Yehuda, the hasam am Rabbi Yehuda chamin v'tafshel, there, Rabbi Yehuda says you can leave a chamin and a tafshil on the flame. And in this price we just quoted, Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to leave a cooked item on the fire if it was, cooked, even if it was cooked cold circle, because he says it's stomach v'tovlo. It gets better. So the Gemara says, fine. The Rav Meir, the Rav Meir lo kasha. When it comes to Rav Meir, there's no kasha. Halichachila habdiyevet. The difference between lichachila and b'diyevet. Meaning lichachila, Rav Meir did not allow you to leave. And on the flame, leave shehi on anything on the flame. Only thing you're allowed to leave on the flame was water, but not cooked item. But the brisa here that permits you to eat it, that's a b'di'evit situation. That's talking if you forgot and left it on. So the chachila, you shouldn't do it. But b'di'evit, if you left it on, he'll allow you to eat the food item. And the Rabbi Yehuda nami lo kasha. Rabbi Yehuda is also not a kasha because Khan, the brisa before was begrufo k'tuma. If the fire was covered or the flames were pushed to the side, that's where Rabbi Yehuda allowed you to put the tafshil on there, whether it was a cooked item or non-cooked item. But what's the case in our brisa? The case in our brisa that we just mentioned was Khan, b'shein garuf k'tuma. It wasn't a case of garuf k'tum. The whole idea was you left it on and it wasn't garuf. If it was garuf k'tum, you don't have a problem, right? But if it's not garuf k'tum, that's why Rabbi Yehuda even said b'di'evid, if the thing that you left on was mitstamek v'yafilo, you can't, he made the gzeira that you can't benefit from it. Just not sure why they had whatever, okay. Tosos has to deal with why they have to answer the question differently. Why can't the answer of Garfu Katam work for Rabbi Meir? Okay. So now the Gemara asks another question. Now this question is very difficult because it seems to be exactly what we've been discussing till now. So the Gemara asks, Ibailu, Avar Vishaha. So if someone violates Bemezid and he leaves something on the flame that's not Garfu Katam, my, what's the din with this food item? Mi Kansu Rabbanan Lo. Did they make the takana or not? So all the Rishonim asked, what do you mean? What are you asking? We just answered that question. We just said to Ed that if you did it, that it was a machlokas. What's the story if you left it on before or after? If you left the food item before, before Shabbos, you left it on purpose, right? We said before that even before the gezerah, after the gezerah, it b'mezid, it was usser. So what's the Gemara asking here? So Tosos, the Rasul of a Rishah, the last line, I mean, it's not an easy answer, but it's the simplest answer. He says, "Well, Amar Rashba, right? The Kodim Gzeru Bo. This Brisa, this Shaila here is talking about before they made the Gzera, right? The Acher Gzera Pshita the Aser B'Shogeg Kamo Mezid. But after the Gzera, it was Pashut that it was, it's Aser, because you Aser Shogeg like Mezid. So the thing that historically maybe this Shaila took place before the Gzera. Okay, so the Gemara says Tashma. Come in here, we'll answer the shayla. The Amar Shmuel Bar Nasan Amar Chanina, Kishalach Rav Yosi Litzipori. When Rav Yosi went to Tzipori, right? So the question, when did Rav Yosi go to Tzipori? That was a story of Shimon Bar Yochai story, right? Rav Yosi was one who was quiet, so the Romans sent him to Tzipori. So when Rav Yosi went to Tzipori, Matzah, he found over there, Chamim Shenishtahu Agabe Kira. So people had left, or I guess purposely left this water on the Kira before Shabbos that wasn't covered. But lo aser lahen, right? And he didn't aser for them the water. Because water is mitzdamek v'ralo, right? The more water stays on, it's going to boil out. But then he also found beitzim mitzuma kos. He found these roasted eggs, shenishtau al gabi kira, that was left on the kira. But amar lahem, and he said that these eggs apparently were something that's mitzdamek v'tobi yafilo, and he va'asur lahem, and he said, it's usur, you're not allowed to do this. So my lav la'osul Shabbos. When he says that they're usur, doesn't that mean that he said there it's usur for this Shabbos? I mean, you did it, amazing, you left it on, you're not allowed to eat it. So you see from here that even before the gezeira, mezid was usur. So Mar says, love, no, he says, lo, the Shabbos haba. He just was telling them, okay, you did it, b'di'eved, you did it, b'di'eved, right, you did it, b'di'eved, but if you did it, b'di'eved, you did it, so b'di'eved, you can eat it, but don't do it again next week. That's what he was telling them. That's what says Asr Lehem. So there's no raya from here that b'mezid, it was Asr, because this was done b'mezid, and where Yossi said that, you know, it's Asr, but when he said it was usher, what he could have meant to say, it's usher for you to do, don't do it again next week. You violate it this week, okay, so be the Eved, you can eat it, but just don't do it again next week. So now the Gemara, just on a side point, the Gemara says, Michlal, again, this whole thing is very, it's difficult because we discussed this. Then the Gemara just says, Michlal debates him with sumakos, with stomach v'yafalim ninu. It implies from here that this whole thing, that these roasted eggs, the longer that they're on the fire, it's beneficial for them. Right? The Gemara says, in, yeah, that's the case, that's true. Demar of Chamra Chanina, Pam Achas, Nisacharti, Ani, Verebi, Mokam Echad. One time, Rebbe and I were invited to a place, I guess during on a weekday. They vil fanenu beitzim with sumakos, and they gave us these beitzim with kumakos, that they were, like I said, was so roasted until they became like as thin as uzrarim, some sort of fruit that became, I don't know, we ate a lot of them. They were really, really good. And the more longer you leave them on, the better they are. So that's what happened over here. The longer you left them on, it's mitzvah for yafilo. I guess it's just some sort of cooking hint. You want good eggs, leave them on for a long time. Okay, so Ad Khan, we're talking about shehiya, about leaving the items on the flame. Now the Gemara switches gears and talks about chazara. Chazara means putting the food item back on the flame. Machlokas, as to whether or not that means if it was on the flame before Shabbos, and you took it off on Shabbos and then put it back, Machlokas Rishonim, or that chazara only applies if it was never on the flame on Shabbos. Right? The Ran is of the opinion that if the food item was on the fire during Shabbos, then you took it off, you can put it back on Shabbos even without the blech and all the conditions. You know, it's a big kula of the Ran. For the most part, we don't hold that way, right? We hold that, you know, chazara even applies if it was on the fire on Shabbos. You have all these conditions in order to put it back on the flame. Beis Hillel Omrim, the Mishnah Beis Hillel Omrim, af machzirin. You can even return something to the kira, to the garuf katam flame. I mean, that's our Mishnah, so that's condition number one, that the flame has to be garuf katam. We use the blech, right, to kadera, gama kadera. We use certain things in order to put it back on. So Amar of Sheshes, or Sheshes says, the divrei omer machzirin, according to the Shita that says you can return something on Shabbos, it's afilu bas Shabbos. It's even later on the day on Shabbos. You might have thought, or somebody might have thought, Rashi says, right? You might have thought that the only time you can put something back on the flame on Shabbos is if you put it back on the flame, like Friday night, so you can eat it, there's enough time to eat it later in the day, as opposed to putting it on late in the day on Shabbos, right? Because then if you took it off earlier on Friday night, then people would put it back on. It's a known thing. You want to put the food back on, so you have it for later. But if it's already later day in the Shabbos and you're taking it off the flame, what do you need to put it back on the flame for? So maybe that would be usher. Right? Rashi says machzir afil b'Shabbos b'yom hamacharas, which means, you know, Shabbos day. V'lo tema pluksayu mechashecha. Right, then it says later on, aval b'yom lo muchach to shokla da'it ladure. During the day, it's not so clear that you took it off with the intent to put it back on. Ubatla hatmana v'havli kamat mechila. I don't know why it says hatmana, but then it's butl, this idea that it's on. It looks like a new pudding. Putting it back on. The whole idea of chazara is that chazara is usher. If you do something with the proper conditions, it's not considered chazara, because it's as if it never left the flame. So on Friday night, it's clear that your intent is to put it back on. But Shabbos day, who said your intent was to put it back on? The Gemara says, even so, you can put it back on Shabbos. V'af Rav Oshia Savar, Ach Machzir, and Afilu B'Shabbos. Rav Oshia was also of the opinion that even on Shabbos day, the Amar of Oshia, Rav Oshia says, Pam Achas Hayinu Omdim le'ela mi Rabbi Chiya Rabba. One day, time we were standing before Rabbi Chiya Rabba, right? Ve'helenu lo kumkum shalchami min diyuta tachtona dutu yalona. We brought up a small pitcher of, I guess, of hot water from the lower floors to the upper floor, umazagnu lo, and I guess we used that water to cut the wine, umazagnu lo sakos, v'hechzirunim koma, we put it back on the kira, I guess we went back down, put it on the kira, v'lo amalam davar, and we didn't do anything. And this was during the day. It was during the day. We allowed the chazara anyway. We allowed chazara. Okay? So chazara is even on Shabbos day. You have a long Shabbos, you take it off for lunch. It means you can, if you keep the conditions, you can put it back even during the day on Shabbos. Okay, so now the Gemara gives a few of the conditions. Right? A few of the conditions, right? We know what those conditions are, and since we know them so well, we can just read them off. The conditions are that the stove has to be gar for katam. The food must be completely cooked. The food cannot have cooled off. The pot of food must still be in your hand. And at the time you took the pot off the food, you intended to return it back on. Those are the five conditions for chazara. Now, not all of them are mentioned in the Gemara here. Just a few. So the Gemara says first, Amar Rabbi Zrika, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Tadai. Right? He says, Lo Shanu, this idea that you're allowed to put things back onto the Kira, it's Ella She'odan B'yado. If you're still holding on it, right? If your pot of food is still in your hand. Aval Hinich and Al Gabri Karka. But if you put it down on the ground, it's Aser, then you cannot put it back on. Why? Because by putting it back on the ground, Rashi says, it's you mevatel the initial placing. It's like a new place now. If you put it on the ground, what does putting it on the ground, you know, mean for us? We don't put food on the ground. I mean, in those days, I guess they would put food on the ground. We don't put it on the ground. We put it on the table. We put it on the countertop. Right, right. So here I'm quoting from Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Eider says that the fourth condition is that the pot must still be in his hand. That is, if he did not place it down from the time he removed it from the blech until the time he wants to return it. Therefore, if he placed it down on the ground, or even on a table, bench, bed, counter, the like, or transfer the contents to another vessel, that is one which is not on the blech, even if the person who placed the pot down was not doing the pot, it may not be returned. The reason for this requirement is that if one places the pot down, the original shahiyah is void, and when he replaces the pot, it appears as if he's cooking anew. So they say the ground, you know, we say, you know, on the table, right? If you put it down. The idea is, okay, so that's lo shanu elish odin biyadav, anichar karka aser. So you got to still hold on to it. That's why we take the chalent off on a Friday night. Make sure you're still holding on to it. Don't let go. And Amar Rav Ami, Rav Tadai de Avad, Ligarmi hu de Avad. He goes, no, Rav Tadai, that was his own shita. El hachim Rav Chiyam Rav Yochanan, but this is what really Rav Chiyam Rav Yochanan said, Aval hinich gamri karkar mutter. He says, if you put it on the ground, it's mutter. So, but the Eve we hold, right? But the Eve we hold, if this condition is missing, it may be permissible to put it back on, because there's two shita, the two lashonos, as to whether or not this is mutter or not, we pretty much hold that we should hold on to it. So now the Gemara says, "Pligabar Rav Dimi Rav Yosef Bar Shmuel v'Tarvay Mishmei de Rav Elazar Amri." There's a machlokas between Rav Dimi and Rav Shmuel in the name of Rav Elazar. Chad Amar Kish Odin Biyado Mutter. One says only if it's still in your hand can you put it back on, right? Al Gabri Karka Aser. If you put it on the ground, it's Aser. The Chad Amar Nichal Gabri Karka Nami Mutter. One says if you put it on the ground, it still would be Mutter. So if this machlokas of whether if you put it on the ground, it's Mevatel the initial Shehiyah, and whether or not that would make it Aser. Amr Chizki Mishmeid Abaye, Chizki Mishmeid Abaye says, Hade Amart Odom B'yodo Mutter. That way you say that still you can't place it on the ground, Odom B'yodo, Lo Amaron El Shadaito L'Haxir. Not only do you have to hold it onto it, you have to have das, you have to have intent to return it. Avalim Ein Daito L'Haxir, but if you don't have intent to put it back on, it's usser, even if you're holding on to it. It means another condition. You have to be holding on to it, and you have to have intent to put it on the ground. Michlal, Dalgabi Karka, Afopi, Shadaito L'Haxir, usser. So it seems from here, according to Mabai, if you put it on the ground, even if you have intent to return it, it would still be usser. You need both. You can't let go of it. It can't be put on the ground, and you have to have intent to return it. That's the first mandamar. But Ika de Amri, the others say, Amr Chizka, Mishmei Rabaye, the Chizka in the name of Abaye, Hada Amar, Tagabi Karka Aser, that which we said that you put it on the ground, which you let go of it, is Aser, that's Lo Amarna Elokash in Daito L'Achshir. That's only if you don't have intent to return it. About Daito L'Achshir, but if you have intent to return it, that trumps everything, then it's Mutter, then it'd be Mutter, which would imply, Michlal, Shiva Odu Biyodo, right, if you, it's still in your hand, Afal Pisha in Daito L'Achshir, even if you don't have Das, it'd be Mutter. I mean, you would need one or the other, according to the second Shita. We we are asking that you need both. But according to this Ikadamri, you would need one or the other. Even if you put it on the ground, it's only if you don't have das lahachzir. But and so the inference is, even if it's still in your hand, if you didn't put it on the ground and you don't have das lahachzir, if you have one condition, it would be sufficient to return. I think that's why b'diavad these two shitas can be, you know, these two conditions can be played with a little bit b'shas hatzorich. But really, the chatrila, you need to have these conditions odu biyado and daito lahachzir. Nachim, want to say something? No. No. Okay. All right. So now the Gemara says, Bayer of Yirmiyah. So we have these other shaylas, Bayer of Yirmiyah. What if you didn't put it on the ground? What if you really didn't let go of it completely? But Tlotan b'makel. But you hung it up on a stick, right? Or Hinichan al gabe mita. Or you left it on the bed. Remember those days they're lying down, they're relaxing. What if you put it on the couch that they're sitting on? Mahu. Is that considered that you put it on the ground, that you let go of it, and therefore you can't return it to the fire? Or maybe that's not considered that. Maybe that's not considered on the karka yet, because you didn't let it still, it's on the stick or it's on the bed. So, Bayi Rav Ashi, Peinam mi mecham le mechan. What if you took it from one pot to another pot, it seems to be what he's saying. Right? Rashi says, Kum kum shehichman bochamin. So, let's say you took it off the flame, right, and then you poured it into something else. What's the din? Can you put this second pot, which now is holding the water, onto the covered karfukatum? I mean, the water itself, it's the same water, but it's a different pot. What's the story with that? So Gemara says, you know, teku, that's a shiloh. So I mean, if your black goes off and you want to move it to your neighbor's house, don't pour it into another pot. Just carry the pot itself to your neighbor's black in order to put it on there. Okay. Yeah. What was Rav Yirmiyah's question? It did. It's a teku. No, it's the same question. It's boy, boy. I think they're both teku. Right? Okay. All right. Next Mishnah. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss other types of heating, you know, types of ovens that they had. So we had discussed the kira, which the kira was this thing that was open. You were able to put two pots on top of it. And since you had two pots on top of it, you had two holes, so the heat was not as intense. But you have a tamnor. So you have a kira, a tanor, and a kupach. So you have, the level of heat intensity is, the tanor is much more heat intense than the kira. Most of the poskim nowadays say that our ovens are kira. But they have a tanor. So again, so a tanor, we're going back to this idea of shia, can you leave something on? So tanor, right, so you have something that's a tanor, right, shehisiko bakash, so that you, it's fired, it's cooked, the flame came in there because of, you know, kash, or gavla, stubble, or straw, so therefore, lo yitain bein mitocho bein miagavav. Even if you karfakatam, it's too hot, whatever the reason is being, you can't leave, well, say machlokus, you can't leave the food items on a tanner at all. Before we had the idea you can't leave it at all. Before we had the idea by the kira, there was a difference between the kash and the gvava. Here, there's no difference between the kash and the gvava. You can't use it at all. But the kupach, now the kupach is similar to a kira, but it only has, the opening is only for one item to put on top. So therefore, it is a little less heat intensive than the tanor, but it's more heat intensive than our kira. So therefore, so kupach shehisikua bikashu begavava. So if you fired it with stubble or straw, so then it's hareza kikirayim. It has the din of a kira, and that means it's mutter to put the food item on top, to leave it there. But if you use it for gefes of eitzim, if you use gefes for eitzim on the kupach, hariyu katanor. Then it gets the din of the tanor, and then you can't put anything on it. Right? So the kupach has the split personality. Kash v'gava, it's like the kira. But gefes of eitzim, it's like the tanor. So the Gemara says, okay, Gemara's going to ask, we just said you can't leave anything on the tanor, but can you leave something on the side of the tanor? So tanor shehisuka, right, Bryson said, if you put the tanor, you lit the tanor with gashu guvava, you can't put anything in it. or on top of it. So Savar Rav Yosef Lemeimer, Rav Yosef thought to say, Toko is Toko Mamish, means literally in it. Agaba means Agabe Mamish, means on top of it. But Avalismoch, but to put something next to it, next to the wall, to warm up that way, that would be Shapar Dami. That's what Rav Yosef thought to say. So Esri Abaye, so Abaye asked Rav Yosef, wait a second, let's figure out what the Mishnah was talking about. It says Kupach. The next case was the Kupach. Shehisikuku b'kashu b'gavava hareu kikirayim. If the Kupach was fired up, was the flame was from kashu b'gavava with stubble or straw, so then it's like a kirayim and it's mutter, right? Ube eitzim hareu katanor. But if you use you know wood, right, it's like the tanor and would be usser. So now, what's the case by the kira that said it was mutter? Right, we're saying that the Kupach is like the kira and it's mutter. So how kira had it? Sorry. Had it been like a kira, it would have been mutter, right? If you put it, the Mishnah compared to kupa on one hand like the kashan like the kirayim, and one case like the tanur. The case like the kirayim it's mutter. The case of the tanur is usser. But what in the second? What happened would have been had we compared it in both cases like a kira, meaning ha kikira shari. Had it been like a kira, it would have been mutter. So what would have been the case, right? We compared it to a tanur, but had, and therefore it's usser. But had we compared it like a kira, it would be mutter. But in one case, would a kira be mutter if it was lit with wood? So b'may eskinon, ilim begavav, if we're talking about on top of it, b'may, why would it be on top of it? Why would it be, one second again, hakikira shari. So b'may eskinon, what are we dealing with? Ilema, we're talking about agabav uvamai. What would be the, if you're saying on top of it, and what would be ilema she'ino gar for katam, and if it wasn't gar for katam, even if it was a kira, if it wasn't gar for katam, it would be usser. We're just making the deal that if you compared the kupach to the kira, it would be mutter. So what case would that have been? It could have been a case where it's not gar for katam, because if it's not gar for katam, then even by the kira, it would be usser. Ilim she'enu gar for katam, then it would be usser. Ella kira ki'enu grufo kuma agav of mishari. What would be the case of a kira that's not gar for katam that would be mutter? It would not be mutter. Elav it's lismoch. We're talking about a case here that we're talking about somich. In other words, we're trying to say the diuk is basically had you compared it to the kira, it would have been mutter. So what case would it have been mutter if it was compared to the kira? Only if it was gar for katam. Right, so ela kira ki ain a group of ktuma agav of mishari. What would have been mutter? It would have been ela lav lismo. Must be talking about a case of that it was trying to place it next to it. And nevertheless, for katani hareu katan of aser. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says we're talking about a case of that we are comparing it to the tanor, and we're saying it's aser. It can't be a case of gar for katam because then of not gar for katam. We're talking about a case of where it's gar for katam, and you're saying that had it been like a kira, it would have been mutter. But if it's like the tanor, it's aser. So if it's like the tanor, it's aser. What's the case? Cases where he's somich. So you said somich is mutter. Clearly somich is usser based on the diyuk. Okay. Amar of Adab or Ava. Rav Adab says, no. Hacha v'kupa gar fukatam v'taner garufuk tu maskina. No, maybe our Mishnah is talking about a case where the kupa and the taner in a Mishnah are talking about cases where the gar fukatam. Right? And we say, harehu kataner. It's like when we say compared to a taner, it's the afagav the gar fukatam. Even though it's gar fukatam, al gav of usser. Nevertheless, it's usser. The ikira, but if it was a kira, ki garufuk tuma, shaper dami. But a kira, if you had to compare it to a kira, it's gar fukatam, then it would have been mutter to put it next to it. So there's no raya. There's no raya about from the Mishnah about whether or not you can be somech next to the kupach. So Tanit Gavasi de Abaye, we have a brisa that supports Abaye, right, who said that you're not allowed to put things next to the tanor or next to the kupach, right? Because brisa says tanor shisiku b'kashu b'gava, you have a tanor that's lit with stubble or straw, ain sochim la, you cannot put things next to it. The ain sorach lomer gabav and kavachomer, you can't put it on top. The ain sorach lomer tocho, you can't put it in it. The ain sorach lomer and kavachomer, but gefasu beitzim. When it comes to gefasu beitzim, you can't do any of it. Kupach sheisiku bekash megava, but the kupa, which is a little less intensive heat than the tanor, somchimlo, you can put something next to it. But the ain nosim al gabav, you can't put it on top. You can't put it on top. But gefasu beitzim, a kupach that is lit by gefasu beitzim, then even ain somchimlo, you cannot put things next to it on the side to warm them up, not on top, not in, but on the side, even by the kupach, it would be aser. So now the Gemara asks, what's this kupach? So Amalei Rav Acha, Berei de Rav, Rav Ashi, Hai Kupach, Hei Chidami. What's the story with this kupach? ik akira dami. If it's like akira, then a filu be gefes ve eitzim nami. Then even if it's lit with eitzim with gefes who eitzim, you should be able to put food items on top of it if you do gar fukatim, right? The ikatanor dami, and if it's like a tanor, a filu be kashim gova nami lo. Then even with kashim gova, it should be usser. What is it? It's we already explained it. So the Gemara is saying, what's the Gemara goes back? What is this kupach? So the Gemara says amrle. Nefish hevled mi dekira v'zutr havled mi tanor. It has more heat than the kira, but less heat than the tanor. Therefore, it has the split. This split halacha. The Gemara says hechidami kupach hechidami kira. So, what is the difference between a kupach and a kira? Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina. Rav Yosi Bar Chanina says kupach mokom shepitas keder achas. It only has one hole on top for a place to put. Only put one pot on top of it. Therefore, it's more intensive heat. There's only one area, one hole where the heat is coming out from. But kira mokom shepitas shtei kederos. So kira has the ability to play. You have room for two pots to be placed on top of it. Right, Amar Abaye says, "V'itam Rav Yirmiyah." Some say Rav Yirmiyah. Afan Anami Tanina. We also learned this distinction about the kupach between one kupach and kira, about one hole or two holes. Right, Afan Anami Tanina, because we have this Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim says, "Kira shenechleka laarka." So if you have a kira, right, which is split, gets split across the length, right. So it gets split across. Again, the idea is when it comes to Kalim, something becomes tame. If the keli breaks and is no longer usable, it loses its status of tumah. And now it's something taller. So you have this kira that was tame, and now it breaks. So it can split. It can split either across or it can split down the middle. So if it splits across, horizontally across, well then then there's no room to put anything on because you can't hold anything, right? Kira shenechakla l'orka, right? Tahora. That's tahor. It loses its kira status because it was split in such a way that you can't hold any pots on it now. It's split across the length. But l'rachba, if it splits across the width, then it's still tameh. Why? Why is it still tameh? Because even if it's split across the length, so there was room for two, and now there's room for one on one side, room for one on the other side on the split. But a kupach, bein la'orko, bein la'roch, botar. But a kupach, it splits either way, lengthwise or widthwise. Now there's no place for it because it was only a place to hold one. And when it split it, now there's no place to hold anything. Either way you split it, there's no place to hold anything. So that just shows that the kupach and the tanor, sorry, the kupach and the kira, the difference is that the kira has room for two pots on top and the kupach has room for one pot on top. That's why the kupach has more intensive heat than the kira. And that's why there's a distinction by the kupach that even by kashv gvava, it's like the kira. But by Zef, Gephis, and Eitzim, it's going to be like the Tanor, and Gruf and Getuma will not even work. Okay. Mishnah now switches over. We'll just do the Mishnah. We'll pick up the Gemara tomorrow. It just moves over now to different methods of cooking, right? The next sugya deals with cooking with not using a fire, but using like toldos, like offshoots of fire, or using the sun to cook. Sometimes it's mutter, sometimes it's aser. So the Mishnah says, Ein nosim beitza b'tzad hamecham b'shvil she tisgal gel. You cannot put an egg next to this hot urn, I guess, next to this hot urn, in order to roast the egg a little bit, because we're going to say, because the hot urn is not the fire itself, the hot urn is the tolda of the fire. It's heated by the fire. So the Mishnah seems to be saying here that cooking with a toldos or, right, with the offspring of the tolda of the or, is the same thing as cooking with the fire. You can't do that. The lo yafki ened besudarim, and you can't crack an egg on a some sort of cloth that was warmed up by the sun, right? So you're not allowed to be bush mivashal in tolda of the sun, right? Because this is warmed up by the sun; it's not the sun itself. Rabbi Yossi mater. Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter because he says there was no gzeir on the tolda of the sun, so you're not allowed to cook in the sun. Right, we'll get to that. Rabbi Yossi says matir and lo yat mimenu b'chol, but they both agree you can't, encase the egg in vasterachem is filled to tzale. You can't put it in this hot sand. The desert gets really hot. You can't put it in the hot sand in order for it to roast. Ma'isisha asu anche tveria. So there was this ingenious invention by the anche tveria. The hevilu silon shel tzonin litoch amar shel chamim. What they did somehow was they ran a pipe of cold water through the chamit veria, right? Because the chamit veria is sulfur, so it's not potable water, but it was very hot. So they would take their water, they wanted to warm it up, and they would run a pipe of the water through the chamit veria, that the chamit veria would then warm up their water, so they would have hot water, right? They're not using fire. So the Gemara said, right, so... Yeah. So he says, Amru lehem chachamim. The chachamim said to them, in b'Shabbos, if you did this on Shabbos, then chachamim shehuchum b'Shabbos. Then it's the same thing, make it a gzera. If you did this on Shabbos, you can't use the water at all. It's as if you warmed the water with the flame on Shabbos, because we say tolda is going to be asar. Vasum ruchitza, ubishtia, you can't use it to wash, you can't use it to drink. If you did it b'yanta, then it's chacham shulchan b'yanta, then it's like water that was heated up on yantif, and therefore it's only asar ruchitza, you can't use it to wash, because washing or bathing on yantif is asar, it's a machlokas, and it's for a different time, umutar mishtia, but it's mutter to drink, because you'll have to warm up for ochel nefesh on yantif. So we'll get tomorrow, continue the sugya about, there seems to be a distinction, why is there a difference between Rav Yossi about putting it on the cloth, as opposed to putting it into the sand? What's the difference between there's cooking on a fire, cooking from the sun, there's a tolda of the fire, there's a tolda of the sun, what's mutter, what's usher? So we'll have to pick up with that tomorrow.